Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit. Actually, maybe a lot. Not so little, but a lot. About praise. And I'm not necessarily going to encourage you or instruct on praise and worship, but just praise. This is good tonight, and God's speaking. But in Psalms 91:2, the verse says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." And I'm going to give you a lot of one-liners here tonight, you know, just different things about praise. And as we were praising here tonight, or worshiping, and we kind of intermingle those two words together here in this particular church. We put praise and worship together. But a lot of people do that, but then there's some, you know, because what I was going to say to you is that some people say that you can't have worship until you have praise. And I was going to say, I'm not sure I agree with that, but I do agree with that now. God began to show me something as we were worshiping here tonight, that you can't praise God until he gets here. Or you can't worship God. You can only praise makes a place for God. It prepares the place. But you can't worship till the king gets there. You can't worship until the king gets there. But praise is the thing that prepares the place for him to come. And so we're going to talk about praise tonight and preparing a place for God to come. You know, we've been praying for a great awakening, for the revival, whatever we call it. But, you know, we need to pray for the revival. We need to pray for an awakening. But in a way, you can't do that, because you can pray for the conditions to be right, but you can't pray for revival, you know. And so, you know, what we have to do is we have to make the conditions right. And that's part of what praise does. It makes the conditions right for God to show up, so that we can worship him. And then that's when there's an outbreak. Because until God shows up, there's not an outbreak. You know, we might feel good. We might be blessed, you know. And there might be things that happen, but there can't be an outbreak until God shows up on the scene. As we consider the wonderful things God has done for us, we should want to lift our voices and express gratitude and adoration. That's what praise is. When we praise God, we recognize the greatness of who he is and what he has done. And I thought those songs were wonderful tonight for that. I didn't realize how good they were. I didn't pick them. But God picked them out just right, you know. And those were the things that, and while we were singing, those were the things that we were doing. We were expressing gratitude and adoration for God. We were recognizing his greatness. You know, and as I begin to sing hallelujah, hallelujah, and my mind goes, well, Roxanne, you know, this is not real appropriate for this, you know, and we're sort of in that worship stage, but yet, you know, we're not, you know, and but hallelujah, I just kept singing that because it was just like hallelujah, and I have been in your place before, where somebody just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over, and you think, are they stuck? What is wrong with them that they can't move on? Why do they just keep saying that? What is their problem? Okay, God, come on, give them something else. I know I've been there. That's the things that I think. But it's just like, as I was singing hallelujah, I could feel the place being prepared for God to start to move in. And it was, I could almost tell the minute that God's presence entered in. And it was just like, well, isn't that grand? And you didn't want to do this, you know. Because I was just like, hallelujah, well, come on. You know, there's got to be a better word than that. There's got to be a better, you know, more flowers, God. I need, you know, flowery speech, beautiful words. But it was just hallelujah, hallelujah. And God just all of a sudden moved in, because we had prepared a place for him to come. And that's what praise does. And you will know when God moves in. Now, sometimes you say, well, how do I know? Well, it's a complex thing, even though this is not my sermon here tonight, but it's a complex thing. Because I always go back to the woman who touched his garment. She worshiped God. She praised him. And her praise was, I know he heals. There's healing virtue in him. See, that's adoration. That's a recognition of who God is. And she recognized, and that was a form of praise. She recognized who God was, who Jesus was, that he healed. And yet I'm sure that in the multitude that was around him, there were other sick people. Why didn't they get healed? And we say, well, they didn't have the faith for it. But you know what? What it is we can be standing right in the midst of the congregation. And if our mind is not set on God, you know, if we're worried about singing hallelujah too many times, we're going to miss his presence. We'll never move from praise to worship because you're just, your head is like, how many times is she going to sing that? Come on, God, give her something else. But our focus should be on recognizing who God is and what he has done. You know, to be grateful and give adoration to him, to recognize his greatness for who he is and what he's done for us. You know, in the scripture it says, even the earth wants to praise the Lord. And I love that. That is so cool, isn't it? Even the earth wants to praise the Lord. And let's look at Psalms 69:32-34 here first. Psalm 69:34 says, let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. And then let's turn to Psalms 148. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. So we see that even the earth wants to praise God. Even the earth. And we can confirm that according to Luke 19. Let's look at Luke 19 here. 19:39 and 40. And this is during the triumphal entry when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And verse 39 says, and some of the Pharisees called to him Jesus from the crowd, saying, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answers and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Well, that tells me that they could cry out. You know, they could cry out. Because they want to cry out. In the Psalms, we see that the earth should praise the Lord. And people say, well, that's because they get pretty flowers or, you know, the sunset's so beautiful and that's a praise. That's not what he said here. He said they'll cry out in praise if we keep silent. And I believe that the earth can cry out. I believe that the earth, you know, sometimes we only see the earth moaning and groaning and crying out in times of distress. But, you know, they can praise the Lord too. Because they recognize, the earth recognizes the goodness of God. The earth recognizes that God is great and it recognizes who he is. And so, you know, the earth can cry out. Praise is essential to our relationship with God. The source of praise is Jesus because of what he's done for us. And the source of our praise should be that, you know, we know that he died for us, he resurrected for us, and we have new birth because of Jesus. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. The word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we see that, you know, that we want to praise the Lord because his word tells us to. You know, and it says that that word of praise, that singing and teaching and admonishing with hymns and songs and spiritual songs, that is praise. And we should teach those things, and those things should dwell in us. It says that they should dwell richly in us. So, you know, when we can't praise, it means the word is not dwelling in us. The word of praise is not dwelling in us. And we want the word to dwell in us. We want his praise to dwell in us. Jesus is the way to God. And when we become new creations through Christ, we have access to all of God's provisions, his healing, his deliverance, his prosperity. Those all come through Jesus to us. But unless the word is dwelling in us, word being Jesus, if praise of him does not dwell in us, that can't come to us. It causes it to be forfeited in our life. In Isaiah 12:3, it says, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Isn't that good? We'll draw it up from the wells of salvation, the joy of God. That's part of praise, that when we enjoy God and we have joy in him, that we will draw waters from the wells of salvation, which is Jesus. We never run out of things to praise God for. We should never run out of things to praise God for. You know, sometimes you get stuck on that one word. But you know what? That if you think, well, that's, you know, I don't want to just keep saying the same thing over. Then start thinking about all the things that God has done. He gave us life. Gave us breath. He made us a new creature in him. Then just even the simple things on earth. You know, he gave us a home and a family and all of the things that God has done for us. He gave us healing and deliverance. God is good. And we need to praise him for those things and thank him for that. Because, you know, praise begins in the heart of man and is governed by the will of man. We decide whether we praise God or not. It is a decision each one of us makes. Praise doesn't just happen. Sometimes it's a charismatic movement, or maybe not just necessarily charismatic movement. Sometimes we get in conventions and the Spirit of God is moving. And if you'll give yourself to that, you'll recognize that the Spirit of God is moving. But in most cases, just like here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening or whenever we would gather together, it is our choice of whether we will praise or we won't. You know, it begins in us and is governed by our will. In other words, when we praise because we choose to. I love these sermons that Gordon is doing, this free choice. You know, we have the freedom of choice. It is so wonderful. And we have the choice to praise God, you know, and we have a choice of how it's governed. How much we'll praise, how far we'll go with praise, you know, how long we're willing to how far we're willing to go in that praise. It's just like tonight, you know, my head was saying, you want to keep doing this, you know? And it was just like, but it was my choice. I could have cut it off and said, okay, that's enough. Let's move on. We're going to have a word tonight. We're going to just move. But it is our choice in all of us how much we praise the Lord. We govern that. You know, we can go just like a governor on a car. You know, they can set it at 40 miles an hour and you can't go any faster than that. Or they can set it at 90 miles an hour and you can go that fast. So we govern. We decide at what level we're going to praise at. Praise is a choice, and it's not just an expression of emotions or feelings. We cannot wait until we feel like praising God that we praise God. Because until God comes down the aisle, there shouldn't be any feeling. That's just how it is. Until the King walks in and his presence and his anointing comes, we shouldn't really have a feeling about it. We really shouldn't. But sometimes the anointing will bring a feeling. But that is usually when God has already come, because we have praised him and opened the door and made a place, made it comfortable for him. You know, we want to praise just enough that he'll come to the door, but not necessarily that he'll come in and have a seat. You know, and the reason, the way we do that is we never prepare. We all have our chairs set up, but we don't ever have an extra one for him. And so he can't come in. And we'll praise just enough till we feel satisfied, until we feel good about it, till we feel like we've done enough. I guess God's just not showing up today. That's not good enough. That is a wrong attitude. I've been there. I've done that. I guess God's just not showing up today. So we just cut it off. But praise is what makes room for God. The purpose of praise is to get God into our environment. Only when praise comes out of our mouth will God come down the aisle. It has to be out of our mouth. It can't be a nice thought, although thoughts are good when they're on God, but it has to be seen and heard. Praise and worship puts us into the presence, doesn't. Praise and worship does not put us into the presence of God. It provides a condition that invites God to come to us. You know, and we just think if we praise, you know, and we'll get close to God that way. But actually, praise is preparing a place for him to come in. And until we get him to come in, we can't worship because the king isn't there. And when he comes in, then we can move into that place of worship where we can approach him. And that's how it works. And so we need to provide a place, a condition, that God comes to us. Praise is a conscious choice that takes us beyond our feelings and our preferences. Let's look at Psalms 26. Psalms 26, verse 6 and 7. I will wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O God, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of your wondrous works. You know, David is talking here about going beyond his preferences. Sometimes we want to come in unwashed, unclean, unprepared, and hope that God will show up. You know, but if we go back to the Old Testament, now I'm not talking about body cleanliness and that kind of thing, because you can be filthy dirty with your clothes, your hands, but if your heart is clean, God will come to you. But when we recognize that the Old Testament temple, the priest had to come before him clean, and that had to be a body clean. He had to be physically and spiritually clean. You know, so he could say, I wash my hands in innocence. It wasn't by their preference. It was by God's preference. And it has not changed today. It has not changed. God doesn't require us to be clean on the outside, but he certainly does require our hearts to be clean. God cannot come and abide with us now when we are unclean. Now, does God's spirit show up in places that are unclean? Yes, he does. But he does not dwell there. He won't stay there. You know, we have churches that God does not stay at because the hearts of the people are not ready for him and are not prepared for him. Let's look at Psalms 50, 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show salvation, the salvation of God. You have to order your conduct aright. So, you know, like I said, it's beyond our feelings and our preferences that praise has to take place. You know, he says here in 51, create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your way and the sinners will be converted to you. You know, it's a cleanliness of heart that we have to come prepared to receive God. You know, and, you know, sometimes we come to church and we've had a bad day and things are just not going right. And maybe we've had an argument with someone or we've, you know, just something has happened in our life that has caused disorder in our spirit. Well, you know, what God wants you to do is to get over it. You know, he just wants you to get over it. And he's simply saying, just make yourself clean. I will renew a right spirit in you if you'll just let me. You know, it's that instant. But what we do is we come in and we keep rolling it over and over and over in our mind. They just said this and I should have said that. And they said this and I did that. And, you know, and how can, and the devil loves this. How can God forgive me for that? You know, I really shouldn't be in praise and worship. How can I praise God when I've done this thing? Well, you know what? Just get over it. Repent and move on. Get back in. It's that easy. It's that quick. Repent. Turn from. Repent means turn it around and go the other direction. Repent from what you've done. And ask God to renew a right spirit in you and worship. Because the devil, Lucifer, was an angel of worship. And he knows what it takes to get people into the presence of God. Therefore, he knows what it takes to keep them out. And he knows that if he can keep you from praising God, you'll never get to the worship part. If it's always about your preferences, your feelings, your wanting your way, you'll never get there. Never get there. You know, and sometimes even the way things are going and they're, you know, they're flowing and it might not be to your preference, but it might be what God wants. And you need to stick with it until you get to that place where you know God is in the house. And we quit way too quick, way too often, way too often. Couples, I'll use a thing, couple Sundays, mornings ago, and we were trying something new with the worship team and it just didn't exactly flow exactly right. Just didn't go. Some of you have been maybe seeing that more often than not here. I don't know. But it just didn't kind of flow the way we thought it should or thought it would. But you know what? It made me come out of my comfort zone of praise. It made me, because this is what we do. We sing usually one fast song, then a medium song, and then a worship song, or two fast and a worship, or one fast and one worship. You know, that, and then we just automatically go into pray or worship. We just go there. Well, what happened that morning was we tried to do this transition, and it just did not happen. It was like thud. And it brought me out of my comfort zone of, well, we'll just worship now. Because it was like, oh, now what do I do? Oh, Lord, that didn't work. Okay, here I am. What am I supposed to do? Okay, I'll just listen for a little bit. Oh, my gosh, we got to do something. We just can't stand here, you know? And it jerked me out of that routine. I told Debbie, you know, we've gotten into that rut that we just do these three songs, maybe four, and we go down the rut. We just do that thing. And that God was just jerking us right up out of the rut. He used the perfect opportunity to jerk me out of the rut that I was in. And, you know, and so many times when we get in these ruts, we think that we're worshiping God, but it's just rote. It's just what we do. It's tradition. Oh, the traditions of man. What about those? Those are not good. And so, you know, and face it, we must recognize that who we are, we have our traditions. Whether we like it or not, we do have our traditions. And we have got to learn how to not let the traditions stop God from coming into this place. So, you know, it's sometimes it just things, we've got to learn how to praise God until He shows up. And you know, and the more we do that, the quicker it will happen. You know, it won't take us 45 minutes of hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to get Him to come. You know, when we set our hearts, when we begin learning how to set our hearts so that God will come out of, not of our own feelings or our own preferences of what we think God should do. God is God and He can do whatever He wants to. You know, He is sovereign and He can do what He wants to. He will always abide by the word of God. That's a catch there. Whoops. but He might mix it up on us a little bit. He might just throw a bad song in there somewhere, a bad chorus that didn't work, you know, and we might have to, you know, adjust our thinkings because our preference is a certain way. So we've got to not have preferences in order to have praise to operate the way God wants it. Praise is always seen and heard, always seen and heard. You know, a lot of times when we think that we've sang enough and we'll grab a hold of the back of the pew and close our eyes and stand there. And, God, are you here yet? Okay, He's not here. Okay. And we'll concentrate a little harder. God, oh, praise you, Jesus. You know, but praise is a conscious choice of words coming out of your mouth and your hands uplifted or your feet moving. There is something seen and heard. You know, and we have too many people that have that wonderful stance and wait. And they want God, but they're not doing anything to get Him here. You know, it's just like you're waiting for the taxi, but you didn't call the taxi stand to tell them to come, you know, but you're waiting for the taxi, but nobody knows that you're waiting for them. And so we've got to do something. We've got to be seen and heard in order for praise to be happening. So we need to do that. It was never God's intent that we would go to heaven someday. It was His intent that we would live in His presence in this world. And we think about Adam and Eve. They praise God. And God came, and He walked with them in the cool of the evening. He came, and He fellowshipped with them. God wants that. He wants to come. He wants to be here in our midst. He wants to come here when we gather together. You know, we can throw out the scripture, where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there. That's true to a certain extent, but the fullness of His power and His presence, He has to have that praise. A place has to be set for Him to come. In the Old Testament, building altars was preparing a place for God's presence. God just didn't show up. You know, He didn't just, oh, there's a nice group of Israelis walking through the forest. I'll go there. He didn't do that. The place was prepared for Him to show up. Now, it may not have been a temple, you know, although also in the Old Testament, they built tabernacles and temples, and that was a place that provided for God to come. But there had to be someplace. Sometimes it was just an altar that was built, and God would come and show up. But a place had to be prepared before He would come. We can even look at Elijah with the prophets of Baal. We can even look at that. He prepared a place. Now, God told him what to do, and God is telling us what to do. But God told him what to do. But He prepared a place for God to come. Now, God didn't dwell, and he didn't dwell necessarily with the Israelis or with the Hebrew people. I shouldn't call them Israelis, Hebrew people. he came and he would come into the Holy of Holies. He would come to the altar, but there, you know, he would come and he would go and he would come and he would go because of that there was no, that there was still a separation because Jesus had not come to open the way for him to come permanently. But, you know, even with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, he prepared a place and God came down. Now, it wasn't a time for worship, but he showed himself strong. I mean, should we be so fortunate that God would come and don't burn our building down? But, you know, but God came, you know, but now we have Jesus and we are temples of the Holy Ghost. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, and God can come and dwell in us if we make a place. If we make a place. Because we can be born again and still not make a place for God. With our busy lives and our, you know, our busy whatever and our traditions, and God, we just don't make place for Him. And it's sad. That is a sad thing. We don't have to come to church to get in God's presence, but we should be practicing and drawing God to us through praise until His presence is with us every day, all day. Let's turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Every day in the path of life, he says, that's every day, all day. You know, when he talks about the path of life, you know, he will show himself and show his presence, and he will bring joy. And that's what praise, it prepares a place. And in our daily lives, we have to prepare a place every day for God to come. And we can live like this. And, you know, oftentimes we say, well, we can't live in that. But we can. Jesus did. You know, you've heard it said before, well, we just can't live in that. And we can. Jesus did. And he said, greater things we will do than he. So he has made it possible for us to live in his presence. And we have to do that through praise in order to get a place for him, get it ready for him to come. God wants to come. He wants to dwell in us and through us. Now, the power of praise is the presence of God at work in our lives. Let's turn to Acts 16. Acts 16, 16. Now, it happened as they went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrate and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everybody's chains were loosened. The power of praise brings the presence of God into our lives. And we can see that when that happens, that it comes and things, God will show up and things will begin to happen. And that's the power. We just think praise is the number, it's the A thing we do on the ABC list in worship. But praise is the thing that gets God on the scene. It is the A thing. It is the A thing that we need to focus on to get God to come and show up. Because when God shows up, He shakes foundations. He causes earthquakes to happen that produce good things. You know, not bad things, but good things. When God shows up, healing happens. Deliverance happens. And so we want God to show up. And that's the power of praise. Praise is turning our attention from ourselves to God. And praising God means we entrust ourselves to His care. You know, Paul and Silas had to completely trust God to get them out of the situation. They were in the inner part of the prison. They weren't on the peripheral outsides. They were down inside. And it took an earthquake to shake the building enough for them to get out. You know, maybe if they'd just been out a little bit, you know, on the peripheral parts of the prison, things could have just shook a little bit, or maybe an angel came and loosed them and let them go. But this took an earthquake. But, you know, their minds weren't on, oh my, I'm in prison. Now what am I going to do? I can't preach the gospel down here. You know, and we think those things, you know, when we get ourselves in situations and don't even get ourselves in situations. Sometimes we're just in situations and we think, well, how can I do God's will here? This is just an awful place. Well, Paul and Silas didn't think that. They thought, we're going to praise God right here where we're at. We're not going to praise God because we're in prison, but we're going to praise God because of who He is. We're going to praise Him because He is great, because we are grateful for what God has done for us. And if we die here, I'm still grateful that God has brought me to where I am. You know, and that's how we need to get our eyes off ourselves and get our thoughts and attention on God and trust Him. We forfeit the things God asks. We forfeit the things we ask God for when we fail to seek Him first. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added to you. Well, we want all of the things, and then we'll worship, we'll praise Him. You know, that's what we think. When God gives me something, then I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You're so great. But you know what? That's not what the scripture is. Clearly opposite of what the scripture says. It says seek Him first, worship Him first, praise Him first, then those things will come to you. That's when we get the things, is when we focus on God. And we don't focus on God for the things. We don't seek His hand, we seek His face. We praise Him for who He is, not what He can do for us. And this is a problem we have in praise. Our praise is, oh God, I love you. Will you give me? Oh God, I need this and I know you can provide it. No. What we do is, God, you are great. You are wonderful. You've made the heavens and the stars and the moon. You made this earth. You've healed my body. You sent healing. You sent deliverance. And we seek His face. We worship Him. We admire the things that He is and that He can do, not what He can bring us. It's not about us. It's about Him. Seeking the blessing of God instead of the face never works. And I want to show you this. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13. Seeking the blessing of God instead of His face never works. 1 Samuel 13. I'm running out of a little time here, so I'm just going to kind of give you a summary of what has happened here. Saul had reigned for 1 year, and then they were going to war. And Samuel had promised that he would come and make sacrifice for Saul. Well, Saul waited and waited and waited. And in verse 8, he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering of peace "Hear to me," and he offered the burnt offering. And it happened that as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done, Saul?" And Saul said, "I saw that the people were scattered from me, that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together in Mishmash. And then I said, the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have no supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." What he was doing was he was offering an offering to get God's hand to move. He did not wait for the man of God to come and seek God. And seek God's face. So when we seek the blessing of God instead of seeking God, when we worship God because he blesses us instead of worshiping God for who he is, bad things happen. Because Saul lost his kingdom forever. It was God's intent that Saul would be the David. It was his intent that Saul would be the king, that Saul's kingdom would last forever and ever, and to which there would be no end. And when he disobeyed, it went to David, because he sought his hand and not his face. So we must seek God's face and not his hand. And that's what praise does. We seek his face. We recognize who he is. We recognize his greatness, how wonderful and faithful he is. And seeking God, we seek him until he graces us with his presence. And we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 that the people sought God. They worshiped him until he came. And what happened in this, you'll recognize this story. This is where they worshiped God until his presence fell. And it said that the priests could no longer stand to minister to the Lord. They sought God. They worshiped God. They praised God. They came before God to worship him and to thank him. And when they did that, God moved in. And there was a change. And when God moves in, you can tell the change. And they could tell because they could not stand to minister, because the cloud moved in, and they knew that God was in the place. Praise is renewing our relationship with God. And it's confession, uplifted hands, and it's always public. I do want to give you these scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 18. Praise is renewing our relationship with God. And you say, well, do I have to pray the prayer of salvation every time I praise God? No, you don't. But you know what? Renewing your relationship with, I don't renew my relationship with Debbie and Gordon every time I'm, "Oh, hi, my name's Roxanne. I'd like to be your friend." I don't do that. But I renew my relationship with them by talking with them, having conversation with them. I may have not seen them for a whole week, and I'm renewing my relationship, catching them up on what's going on. Well, we don't have to come before God and say, "I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose the third day, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. I make my confession with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus is..." You don't have to do that every time you see God. But you renew your relationship with God by just saying, "God, I know what you've done for me. You saved me. You delivered me from the pit. Oh, thank you, Lord. You sent Jesus. You healed me. Thank you." That's praise. That's praise to him. That's confession. And we do it with uplifted hands. In Psalms 18, 49, it says, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name." It is absolutely public. You do it out loud where other people can hear you. The priest could go into their little holy of holies, in their little curtain with the box where God would come, And it wasn't public at all, although the public was out there waiting to find out what was going on in there. But that was by one person, one at a time. Each priest went in at their appointed time. And it never affected the Gentiles. It never affected those people out in the world because it wasn't public. It was very private. And I think that I think that the priest, when they went in there, they saw some awfully awesome things happen. Now, can you imagine meeting God face to face? And you say, they couldn't meet God face to face. But the flame would come down and burn that sacrifice. That was God. They were seeing God face to face. You know, with all the things that happened in the Holy of Holies, they were meeting God. What an awesome experience. But it was so private. And David tells us here in this psalm, I'm wanting your praise to go out, that the Gentiles will see them. I will praise God among the Gentiles. It has to be open, has to be public for all to see. Psalms 22:22. It says, I will declare your name to the brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. 25 says, my praise shall be to you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. In the assembly, that's us. We assembly. We come together. We are the assembly. And we come together. And we should feel free and feel open to confess, to raise our hands, and publicly acknowledge who God is. Praise is renewing that relationship with God. Praise is celebrating with God with total abandonment. That is singing, shouting, joyful noise, laughter, and thanksgiving. I'll just tell you this. This scripture is 2 Samuel. I got so much. I'm sorry. I got thousands of scriptures. 2 Samuel 6, 13 and 16. This is when they brought the ark back into Jerusalem. And David danced, and they made a sacrifice. And then they'd go another 6 feet, and they'd make a sacrifice. And David danced. And it says in the scripture, he whirled around, and he was in his underwear. And I won't do that, but he whirled about, and his wife got upset with him because she was a queenly type woman. She had great pride in who she was. And unfortunately, she became barren because she refused to praise God. When we refuse to praise God, we will be barren. But he just sang and shouted and whirled about and laughter and thanksgiving. And so we need to praise God in total abandonment. Just give ourselves completely over to God. Then there is the praising with a loud voice. And we look at Psalms 47. It says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. For the Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all of the earth. He will subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob whom he loves. God has gone out with a shout. The Lord with the sound of the trumpet, sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King over all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nation. He sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, and the people of the God of Abraham, for the shield of the earth belongs to God. He is greatly exalted. We need to shout with a voice of triumph for what God has done. Not what he's going to do for me, or because I need something. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you're going to do this for me. No, we shout because of who he is. He reigns over all of the nations. He is a great God. Hallelujah. And we should shout with a voice of triumph. And I can't remember her name right now. Just kind of, and I'll do this and hold your ears. But she says, I don't have a trumpet, Lord. So she says, I'll be a trumpet. Woo! And that's what she did. And she says, that's my trumpet. And so she would shout with a voice of triumph, you know, with a and a trumpet, and it's just like, whoo! But that was her trumpet, and that's the way she would praise God. So, you know, we need to praise God with a loud voice. We need to praise God with musical instruments and make music. Psalm 33, 1 through 3. Psalm 89, 5 and 6. Psalms 150, 1 through 6. And I'm going to pick up 150, 1 through 6. Those are all references to instruments, making music. And you know, sometimes when we're here and we're praising God and stuff, and worshiping, we kind of mix them together and those words mixed together. But when we praise and Debbie is playing, do you feel like when David played for Saul and the music soothes your soul? And sometimes you just need to listen to the instruments. It says, praise him on the timbrel, or sound the trumpet. Praise him on the lute and the harp. Praise him on the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with a loud cymbal. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, and that we need to praise God with instruments. And sometimes it's just the music. Just music. But you know what? We've gotten into that rut that if the music's playing, we have to do something. You know? You know how we are. You know, we do our three little songs, whichever order we do them in, and then the music starts playing, and we are very uncomfortable just to stand and let the music play. We think that this is where we praise, we worship God. Well, what about if we just... I'm not saying this is going to happen every week, but what if we just let the music minister to God and let him come in? Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't it be exciting to just let the music, and God would show up because of the music that was playing? Have you ever just been listening to praise and worship tapes and God moved in? You've experienced that. You've heard the music playing and it's just like, oh, God is here. He loves music. He created Lucifer to bring worship. So he must like music. So he does like music. So praise with musical instruments. Praise is adoration of God in a hushed expectancy. Now this one is a really hard one. But in Psalms 95, 6. Praise God in hush expectancy. Now, this is not the kind where you grab a hold of the back of the pew and squeeze your eyes and think, is God here yet? That's not hush expectancy. But when you come to that point where you've praised God and now when the king comes in, you know, just think about this in the natural. If the president came to the door, we wouldn't all be just going, oh, isn't this a great day? Wow, here he comes. We'd all go, okay, he wants to come in and have something to say. We'll wait for him to speak. And we don't go, speak. Oh, it'll be wonderful. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. It's a hush expectancy that he's going to say something. It's just like if Queen Elizabeth walked in. We don't just start chattering with her. Well, you know, I really need this. You know, could you maybe get this for me? Could you recommend a good hospital because I'm sick? Maybe could you get the bank to loan me money because I need something? You wouldn't do that to Queen Elizabeth. You would wait in hush expectancy for her to speak. And whatever she said, you'd be satisfied with it. You'd be satisfied. But you know what? Sometimes when we wait in hush expectancy and God speaks, we're not satisfied. We say, is that all the... What do you mean? I've already told you this before. What do you mean? I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to tell you one more time. You know, do what I tell you to do. Oh. You know, so we wait with hushed expectancy. 95:6, it says, Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And then over in Habakkuk, which however you want to say it. Um, 2:20. I apologize for my lateness, but I'm going to go on. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. It's hard to keep quiet sometimes, especially when the anointing's starting to flow and you're getting a little jittery. And it's just like, I need to say something. I need to do something. And then Zephaniah 1:7, it says, be silent in the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guest. Isn't that interesting? That is just full of everything. Everything right there. Be silent in the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. He has prepared a sacrifice. You know, the sacrifice is ready, and he has invited his guest. You know, we don't go into him. You know, he comes to us. He comes to the place that we prepared before we can get to him. Amen. Praise is inspired utterances of the Holy Spirit. That is speaking and singing in tongues. And those scriptures are 1 Corinthians 14:15 and Ephesians 5:19-20. That's where it says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will also sing in the Spirit. I'll pray in understanding and I will also pray or sing in understanding. So those are ways to praise and worship God. It's through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, you know, we call it singing a new song many times when we're in worship. We'll call it sing a new song. Well, that's when we just sing, Shandarabakura tarana shaliate, just sing in tongues. Well, that's a praise. That's a pure form because the Holy Ghost takes what's, and we know he knows how to worship God. We know he knows how to go before God. And so he takes what we're doing and he presents it to God. Praise God. Let's look at Psalms 14:2. Psalms 14:2. It says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any who understand, who seek God. 24:6. He's looking. He's looking to see if we know, if he's waiting for us to prepare a place for him. 24:6 says, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. This scripture just pops at me for some reason, and I still don't have a complete understanding of this. But there is something about the generation who will seek God like Jacob sought God. There is something about that generation, and hopefully we're that generation that will seek his face, who won't let him go until he touches us, until he does something, till he comes. In Proverbs 8:17. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. God is searching for a generation, a people, who will value his presence. He is raising up a praising body, and he is preparing a generation who seek him above all else. And I hope that that is us. I hope that we are those that are seeking God above all else, that seek his face, that we'll be like that generation that is like Jacob, that seek his face and won't let him go until he comes. We will prepare a place until it is perfect, till it is absolutely right for God to come and abide. And abide is not that he comes to visit. Abide is that he comes and he dwells. And we can pray until the end of time. But until we prepare a place, starting with praise, until we prepare a place, God cannot come. Let's be that generation that will prepare a place, that will make room for God, a seat at the table, a place in the living room, an altar, you know, a throne for God to come and dwell. Let's be that people. Let's be that generation that will prepare a place, that seeks God's face in praise so that He will come. Let's stand. Father, we worship You tonight. We praise You and we thank You, God. Father, You are so good to us. Father, You have even written it down in words for us, that we don't have to grope for You. We don't have to seek You and try to find You under a rock or in a hidden place, Lord God, behind a curtain or on an altar somewhere. But You are there. You are here. You are in our midst, God. You have written it down for us that we can find You. You have made it able for us to know how to prepare a place for You to come, God. A place that You will dwell. A place that You will abide forever. God, that is my heart. And we seek You, God. We seek You, God. We want You, God. We want Your presence. We want You, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we want You to come. We love You. We worship You and we praise You, God. For You are wonderful. You are marvelous, God. You are great. Oh, Father God, You have created the heavens and earth even for us, oh God, that they would praise You and to worship You, God. Oh, we worship You tonight. We worship You, God. We give You praise and thanksgiving, God. Glory to You. Father, stir in our hearts. Put Your word into us, Lord. Let us not forget what we've learned. And help us, God, to grow in You, to know You. Sorry. Oh, Father God, we praise You. We thank You. Thank You, Jesus. We praise You, God. Praise You, God. Praise You. Father, we thank You for Your word. Let it dwell richly in our hearts, God. We thank You for it. And we receive Your word. We receive You, Lord God, that we might be more like Jesus, that we would prepare a place for You, God. We worship You and we thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord.